Well, an American tourist was in Ireland and he was walking down the street in Dublin and came across an antique store. He looked in the window and he couldn't believe it. There, for a mere $50, you could buy the skull of the ancient King Brian of Ireland. So the American tourist said to himself, "This is a great deal." So he went in and bought the skull of King Brian of Ireland and brought it back to the States. 10 years later, he was back in Ireland, and he was on that very same street. And as he was going by a window, he noticed that that was the antique store that he had purchased 10 years before, the skull of King Brian, and he couldn't believe it. So he looked in the window, and there again was the skull of King Brian of Ireland for sale. He got very angry, and he went inside and talked to the owner and said, "You're a swindler. I was here 10 years ago and I bought the skull of King Brian, and now there's another one in the window, and this one is even much smaller. How do you explain that?" The owner said, "Oh, you've got it all wrong. This one here is the skull of King Brian when he was a child." Today we have the parable of the dishonest steward. And it's a very interesting parable because at first glance it would seem that the Lord is almost, praising dishonesty, but he's not. Of course, the Lord would never praise dishonesty. What he's praising is prudence, acting smartly, being foresighted, farsighted, and using resourcefulness and using the things of this world to help others get to heaven. So let's take a look at this parable for a moment. It's a parable about a rich man who has a steward. The steward in those days were the managers of the property, and this rich man trusted this steward to buy and sell property and deal with olive oil and wheat and different things. But the rich man found out that the steward was squandering his property. So he decides to fire him and gives him advance notice that he's going to be fired. And the steward has a dilemma. What should he do? He says he doesn't want to do manual labor. He doesn't want to start digging ditches. And he says he didn't want to go out begging. That would be embarrassing. So he figures out a way that people will accept him after he loses his job, that people might even help him. It's called the law of reciprocity. He figures that if he does something kind and nice for these people that owe his master money, then when he loses his job, they will take him into their home or maybe help him find another job. And in those days, and even today, if you do something nice for somebody, oftentimes they do something nice back. So he decides to call in each person that owed his master money. And for example, the first fellow comes in and he owes the rich man 100 jars of olive oil, 100 gallons of olive oil. So the steward says, "Well, let's make out a new receipt and make it 50 instead of 100. And then the other fellow comes in, and "How much do you owe him?" Says, 100 jars of wheat. "Take your promissory note and let's write up a new one for 80. Now, you would think that maybe the rich man, the master, would become angry at this, but he's not. It says he commended this servant for acting prudently. And that's the main point. Now, of course, some of the commentaries say, well, wasn't this dishonest? Well, many of the commentators say that what this steward was doing was just getting rid of his own share in what he was supposed to get out of these different deals. So he was eliminating his own share of the profits, perhaps. And it certainly made the rich man look good that, he was reducing what people owed him. So that's probably another reason why the owner did not get upset. But again, the Lord is not praising dishonesty. He's praising prudence. And he's praising the creativity, the initiative, the intelligence, the farsightedness, and the astuteness of this steward for looking to his future, trying to prepare a better future for himself. And so the main point, I think, that the Lord is trying to remind us today is to use the things of this world to help other people get to heaven. And that if we can use the blessings that we have, money or possessions or the blessings that we have, let's use it to build up the kingdom of God. Let's use it to help save souls. I can think of a few examples among the saints. There was Pope Gregory the Great. He was a very wealthy governor in Italy back in the 7th century. Eventually he became a Benedictine monk, and he turned his 6 estates into 6 monasteries all throughout Italy and Sicily. So he was able to use his blessings of his wealth and land and inheritance to turn into monasteries, which would then be there for the next 1,000 years of monks praying and fasting and copying the scriptures and being a source of renewal for Christian Europe. Think of St. Catherine Drexel, a wonderful saint of Philadelphia. Catherine Drexel, her father was a multimillionaire. Her father worked with J.P. Morgan. And when he died, he left his $20 million to his daughter, Catherine Drexel, who was just a teenager at the time. Again, $20 million 150 years ago would be about $200 million today, perhaps. What did she do with it? Well, she became a nun and used that money to build Xavier University in New Orleans, and she founded hundreds of schools and orphanages for African American and Native American Indians all throughout the country. Again, a great example of somebody using their material blessings to help save souls and bring other souls closer to God. I can think of other examples, even in right close to home here, building a new church. For example, if we give something to build a new church, think of that. That church will be here for hundreds of years. Think of all the thousands of baptisms and first communions and confessions and confirmations and weddings and funerals that will be done for the next hundreds of years as we build a new church. Or think of supporting a focused missionary. These young men and women give up a year of their life and they live on a campus, a university, and whether a Catholic campus or a secular campus. And what do these focused missionaries do? They do Catholic Bible studies and groups to help keep our people Catholic. So, for example, giving something to support a missionary, that's a great example of using the things of this world, our possessions, some money, to build up the kingdom of God and to save souls. And these things will have lasting effect for all eternity. What we use our blessings for will have eternal repercussions to help souls forever. And lastly, Jesus said, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and mammon. What is mammon? Mammon is an interesting word. It's the original word means like riches or wealth, but it includes this sort of this avarice, this greed or this desire for wealth. And mammon is obviously not just money. It can be possessions. It could be sports. It could be music. It could be whatever a person makes as their God. So Jesus is saying that we can't serve both God and anything else. We have to make that decision to, of course, always put God first above every earthly position, every earthly possession that we have. So again, Jesus is not praising dishonesty. He's praising the prudence of this man who used the things of this world to guarantee really a better future. And of course, we should think about how we can use the blessings that God has given us to help build up the kingdom of God and to help save souls, so that people's future in heaven will be, that they will be blessed for all eternity by how we use the temporal things of this world to help save souls for eternity.